Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, May 28th, 2021. It is the 148th day of the year. And as always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or in the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people and using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever discovered. These tools are available absolutely free on the website, whyagain.org. If you go to that website, click on the red and white bullseye or the link in the upper left-hand corner of most pages that says Start Here. It'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And if you go there and download that chapter and print it off, you'll have access to a tool I've been using for over 16 years to very effectively improve the quality of my life and manage my emotions and turn the negative emotions I experience into part of the infallible guidance system that we've all been gifted. So we hope you do that, because you can also go in there and actually print off the worksheet itself. The worksheet is a simple PDF file that you can download. And when you download that PDF file, you can print it off and use it as often as you'd like. The other links on that page include a link to a whole host of audio files or shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And in that, before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. When you click on that, it'll give you access to a completely free and private app. And that app has the Reality Management Worksheet in it, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game. When you do that and print it off and start using it, or open your app and start using it, we hope you'll give us a call at 563-999-3581, because we're here with the intent to be of service and help people with these questions and comments about how to make that a more effective, powerful tool in your life. We're also here to talk about the Course in Miracles lessons this year. This day is 148th day of the year, and the workbook lesson 148 continues the review. We begin with the thought that my mind contains only what I think with God. And lesson 135 is a review that says, if I defend myself, I am attacked. Just let that sink in for a minute. We gave a whole commentary about this back when we were reading lesson 135, but it seems to go against our logical, rational mind. But the lesson reads, if I defend myself, I am attacked. And that means if I create the belief that I am vulnerable, that I am weak, that there is something of value that can be taken from me or something of value that can be added unto me that I need to go get, I create a vulnerability in my perception which does not exist in actuality. Lesson 136 says, sickness is a defense against the truth. And the essence of that statement is that the truth is you are whole and complete as you are. Nothing of value can be taken from you or added unto you. At a spiritual level, you are not sick. You cannot be sick. You will never be sick. So that's today's review lessons. And Pam Grout, in her Course in Miracles Experiment book, Lesson 148, she titles it, Stop Talking Smack. She quotes Steve Martin, great philosopher, who said, some people have a way with words, and other people, not have a way. Steve Martin. Pam writes, only love is real. No harm, no foul, no more. She writes, just curious, my friends, what are these phrases still doing in your head? Something needs to be fixed. This is not good enough. I don't have enough. What are those phrases still doing in your head? Visualize all you want. Affirm until the cows come home. But as long as your vocabulary is toxic, as long as you fail to get up each morning and realize how bloody blessed you are to be alive, to have these 24 hours, all your efforts will be futile. Most of us are smart enough to not re-watch our least favorite movies when they debut on Netflix. So why do we insist on running repeats of the least favorite events in our life? Good question. If we wouldn't keep watching a movie we don't like, why do we keep replaying our most unfavorable events in our life? Why do we keep replaying the negative thoughts? Why do we keep bringing ourselves back to the drama and trauma? Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And we have 52 minutes to talk, answer questions, listen to your favorite poem, hear the answers that you have. Welcome, Susan.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kim. Yesterday I heard you for about 5 minutes, and then things started happening around here, and I had to leave the show, and I'm sorry I missed it. This lesson about not replaying the past, or how did she word it? Is there something I need to fix? I think it was in today's one that Pam Grout was commenting on.
She has the three phrases. What are these phrases still doing in your head? First one, something needs to be fixed. Next one,
right.
This is not good enough. Last one,
right.
I don't have enough.
Okay, well, the first two. I read a Richard Rohr meditation this morning. He issues one every day, and I don't always read it. But he's talking about the problem with jumping to the enlightened, like everything is just as it should be type of belief without a middle ground thing. And if you want me to find it, I can find it pretty fast, I think. I don't have it right in front of me, but it's on my phone. Michael has a word for that too. Premature something.
Positive thinking.
Okay.
Michael's version is premature positive thinking.
Good. Well, how do we keep this from being premature positive thinking when I'm having a very specific issue with grandson number 5, Charlie, with his OCD, and I'm watching the anguish of this terrible anxiety and how it manifests in repetitive, urgent questioning about the same thing over and over and over again. And I think about Pam, and I think about, well, I'm certainly not prematurely, what's the word again? I can't even remember it.
Positive thinking.
Positive thinking, yes. Richard Rohr suggests that we have this, he calls it going into non-dualism too soon. We have to deal with dualism, but we can do it from a different perspective. And I don't need to go any further on that, but this is just a very hard lesson.
I have the practical answer for you.
Okay.
I have the most practical answer that I know how to give you.
I think I already know it, Dr. Tim.
Well, you use the tools, and this is not premature positive thinking, right? This is the idea that premature positive thinking would have me say, oh, you're whole and complete, Charlie, and I'm whole and complete, and this is all, everything is love, and let's just go read Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and we'll just read about light and love and how everything is energy and everything's going to be fine. That would be what Michael would call premature positive thinking. The right. practical answer I would give you is, oh, wow, as I experience listening to my grandson or hearing somebody talk about my grandson's upset, I notice I get tense, I get angry, I get sad, I get scared. I'm going to do my worksheets on that, or I'm going to do my EFT tapping on it, or I'm going to pull out the Byron Katie questioning and say, okay, is this true? Can I absolutely know it's true? How do I feel when it's true? How do I feel? What would my life be like if I didn't believe this negative thought? What are the turnarounds? I actually work with the negative thoughts and emotions that are up in me. And that's how I avoid the premature positive thinking.
Okay. I agree with you, and I get it, and I'm doing it, Dr. Tim. So I guess I should have started from a different angle. Maybe it would be like, here you are, this very experienced therapist. I've never heard you talk directly about OCD on the show, except when I have talked about it. Have you ever treated a patient with OCD? Do you have any tips? I can be perfectly okay, but I need information and strategies. And yes, I am upset, but I'm doing those. I'm using those tools, but I need some, I read an interesting, go ahead.
You read an interesting what?
I read something yesterday about OCD. It said, above all, this is a manifestation of a type of anxiety. It's anxiety that's driving this. We need to address the anxiety first. Then it said, do not tell the person who's suffering from this that they will outgrow it or it will pass. I don't know why they said that. And I love the idea of encouraging someone, giving them a little hope, but they said not to say that and to not, and then name the OCD so that they can see it as a separate entity. And Charlie has long done that. He calls it the flea, F-L-E-A. He'll say the flea is added again. And then the flea will ask questions, and I say, I'm not talking to the flea. I want to talk to Charlie, but I don't want to talk to the flea or answer the flea's questions. This was suggested yesterday in this thing I read. I love that. And I was taking Charlie to school this morning, and I said, Charlie, I don't want to talk to the flea or answer the flea's questions, but I love you, and I know you have your unflea mind very active in there. Let's talk, you and I, without the flea, or put the flea aside. He couldn't do it. He literally was the flea. There was no margin of healthy Charlie during this. And he was struggling. And so, yes, a bunch of worksheets, because this is painful to see. But I even thought to myself, maybe I should get Charlie an appointment with Dr. Tim. Maybe Dr. Tim can say something that will open a door that is not open yet with Charlie.
Well, the thing that I would say is that it isn't just get Charlie to think differently. If Charlie has this that's been going on a long time, what we know is a lot of people who have these things have issues going on in their energy system. They might have food allergies. They might have heavy metal toxins. They might have something that's causing inflammation in the body and brain. And that's where I would go with this, as I've mentioned. Dr. Julia Briggs, who's out at the Alternative to Med Center, Dr. Donald Radin, who's in Chicago as an integrative or functional medicine psychiatrist, and he works specifically talking about doing the analysis of what the energy system shows that might be causing inflammation, because in his experience, the vast majority of psychological and psychiatric symptoms that people exhibit can be tied to inflammation in the brain, inflammation in the body, but specifically in the brain. And that's where I would go. I would do both. Okay. I would talk about, talking back to the flea and or putting the flea aside, doing the worksheets, questioning your thoughts, but I wouldn't leave a person just on some medications. At this stage of the game, with what I know about this, I would explore everything that my finances would allow me to explore and my availability, my access to people like the Radin Clinic and Julia Britz on Alternative to Med Center. Why Julia Britz? Because she struggled with and suffered with obsessive compulsive disorder and never told anybody. And she went to a naturopathic physician for some other issues. And that physician asked her, after looking at the test results, have you ever had this obsessive compulsive thing? And she said, well, how did you know that? I've never told you about that. And the physician said, it's in the test results. A lot of people have these results, have that issue. So I wouldn't just stay stuck in this talk therapy or experiential therapy model. I would try to help the person achieve a different level of comfort within the energy system by analyzing whether it's food, whether it's diet and exercise, whether it's toxicity from heavy metals, or it's, the gut biome that's way off, so the person can't absorb the nutrients from the food they're eating. That's where I would go next.
That's so good. That's good advice. Is that what Bruce Lipton been calling energy psychology?
No.
Okay.
What Bruce Lipton calls energy psychology is EFT tapping with the reality management worksheet, or EFT tapping with somebody who does applied kinesiology muscle testing to explore the unconscious. And the energy stuff is simply adding knowledge of the acupuncture meridians and these more subtle energies with the knowledge that I'm holding stuff in my consciousness that I'm blocking myself from being aware of. So we call it the unconscious. And using things like the EFT tapping or the applied kinesiology muscle testing to bypass the conscious logical mind and access the unconscious. It's very similar to what happens if you commit yourself to doing the mind shifter targeted journaling tool and or the reality management worksheet, but it adds the idea of a diagnosis using your energy system and applied kinesiology. The one that he was introduced to and got a lot of benefit from is called Psy-K, PSY-K. And it's almost identical. It's almost identical to the neuroemotional technique, and that's very, very similar to the bioenergetic synchronization technique.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of, I thought it was Psych, but it doesn't matter, Psy-K or Psy-K. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's psych for the psychological part and K for kinesiology.
Okay.
That's what Bruce Lipton's referring to when he says energy psychology or energy medicine.
Yeah. Well, that's very helpful. I know you've referred to
Julia Britz.
Julia, yeah.
And Dr. Donald Radin.
Before. Yeah, I hadn't heard of him, but I had heard of her, and I've been on her website. And I had forgotten, I hadn't forgotten about them, but I had forgotten that I get to that point with my kids, my Charlie's father and mother and their medical doctors, and we've reached an impasse. But it is so intense now that maybe they'd be willing to have a look, especially using the word inflammation.
Well, especially if you go to somebody like Dr. Donald Radin, who's a traditionally trained medical psychiatrist.
How do you spell his name?
R-A-D-E-N, RadinWellness.com.
Okay, thanks.
And he found that it wasn't enough, and he started exploring and got trained in the functional medicine model. If you go to RadinWellness.com, you'll find this really deep, rich green plants and get access to their website from there and get contact with them. But, you know, if you're having people that are skeptical, then it's, I don't know, you know, how skeptical they can remain when they're talking to somebody who's graduated from medical school. And in some of these cases, with these integrative and functional medicine psychiatrists, they're board certified. And, you know, I interviewed another one the day before yesterday, is a very young guy, Dr. Andrew Pleaner, and he's an integrative psychiatrist out of Florida. So if you've got somebody who's skeptical, then instead of going to a naturopathic physician like Dr. Julia Britz, because they might say, oh, naturopath, that's woo-woo stuff. But these are MDs.
Okay, that's very helpful.
You know, whether it's Leela Massoumi, who's in Michigan, who is, you know, an integrative psychiatrist, or Dr. Don Radin, who's a functional medicine psychiatrist, or Dr. Andrew Pleaner out of Florida, that's an integrative psychiatrist. If you've got somebody who's wants to stay close to the allopathic medical model, here are these people. They've been trained in it, and they're licensed to give prescriptions, et cetera, and they won't shy away from using prescriptions where needed, but they'll do these other levels of assessment along with it, with the goal of ending up with a cause-level solution, which might result in a decreased need for medication, or in some cases, elimination of the need for medication.
Right. I wonder if across the board, do you know whether there are just some known inflammatory foods? And I guess I'm asking for a shortcut, but...
Yeah, you are. and if you want to look at that, and if you're willing to do it, I mean, some people have said, hey, I don't have the money or I don't have access to an integrative or functional medicine psychiatrist, and so I'm going to go and do my research on the internet or in the library about foods that cause inflammation, and I'm going to do the elimination diet. So the elimination diet has people just go off all foods and go on a brief fast, and then only start slowly introducing foods one at a time. There's another one that's a modification of that, where people find their resting pulse when they get up in the morning before they get out of bed. They do that several times, and they know their resting pulse. And then they get up and they go to their breakfast table, and they have a single food, an actual food, not something from a package or a jar where there's a list of ingredients. But, you know, a piece of broccoli or an apple or a banana or a cherry or a cashew or in these things that are not loaded with chemicals. These are just the pure foods. And then they'll take a bite or two, and then they'll, you know, wait whatever it is, 5 minutes, and test their pulse. And if their pulse rate has gone up, they know that's a food that's not so good for them. There's all these different ways that people – but they're really intensive, right? It really takes the concentration and the real clarity about the foods and staying away and then only slowly reintroducing these things. And a lot of people don't have the brain power or stick-to-itiveness to do that.
Yeah, and probably they don't because they think it's just not going to work. There's not enough faith in it. I've already suggested an elimination diet. I did one myself years ago, and it straightened me out so incredibly, and it was wonderful to do. And I think be wonderful to go ahead.
Well, the other thing that comes to mind is for a lot of people these days, for whatever reason, dairy and gluten are huge reactors or triggers for reactions for people. So
yeah,
I have
dairy,
a
gluten,
a,
and sugar.
Oh yeah, it's always sugar, but then I have another patient of a 15-year-old that's highly reactive, and they're also saying glutamates. And so if you take the glutamates out, you know, that people talk about MSG in foods, but if you look at the ingredient list on the stuff you get, it doesn't always say MSG, but there's various forms of glutamates in a lot of the things that people consume that come processed.
Yeah.
So that's another thing you can look at.
Yeah. Well, this is great. This is rich. I think the going with an MD who has gone through medical school and all that would probably be the best route. And then, of course, there's my role as grandmother who's known to be a little woo-woo. So, but things are at such a point that maybe this won't be as much of a problem as it's been before because they really want their son to feel better. Yeah, okay. This is really helpful. Thanks.
You're entirely welcome and deserving.
So when you work with an OCD person, if you ever have, you do both things then. You have them look at the dietary.
I recommend that they do both things. I can't make them do anything. But I will do
of
the
course.
EFT tapping. I will do the worksheets in the session. I will do the EMDR or the NET. I will help them understand the kinds of triggers and how they're interpreting them to make, you know, these old energies in them resonate. I'll explain things to them like stimulus presentation, response prevention, which works for some people with OCD. And some of those behavioral techniques have been effective for some people, a certain percentage. But I also let them know that, you know, chances are really good that the best results are going to come by using both that approach and looking at the other energy system that we call physical, right? All of those reactions that our blood system has and our inflammation responses and our heart rate. And, you know, many of the people who come, they're just – their breathing is completely out of whack. Their body, they've gotten so good at hiding their agitation that many times they're living at an agitation level that's two or three times higher than the average person, and they look completely calm and normal.
Oh, yeah.
And but they're right there near the ceiling, right? They're right there near a trigger point, and some 2 minutes elapses or somebody says something that they interpret negatively or the flea in their brain kicks on a little bit louder and now they've got to run screaming from the room because they're having a panic attack.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were with them, you could be in the car with them and not know that they're on the verge of a panic attack. They're hiding it so well.
Yeah. I've seen that. I know. Probably done it too. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Dr. Tim. By the way, I listened to your podcast of yourself. It was really good. Thank you for posting that. Everybody should listen to that. All of you guys on the radio show. Do you want to get
well,
to know Dr.
Tim a
little more?
Thanks for the compliment, and I just want to be the first to note the surprise in your voice.
No, come on. That's no fair.
Hey, it was really good. Well, if you think good, wait until you hear the next two, because the next two are going to be Dr. Andrew Pleaner and then Diedrich Wolsack that I interviewed yesterday. And
good.
These
How did
are,
that go?
Oh, fabulous. I mean, both of these people are just phenomenal. And the work they're doing, the people they're helping. I mean, Diedrich Wolsack is, you know, he's a slight variation on Michael Rice. And so he's got a place in Vancouver, British Columbia, where he does, you know, where he works and sees people and does seminars. And then he has a place in Costa Rica in the rainforest at 2,500 feet right near a lake. And they that's open year-round, and they have people come there for intensive sessions like Michael does, and the work is almost exactly the same work. It's rooted in the Course in Miracles. It's a six-step forgiveness process. It's
wow, oh great, it's good, it's getting out there.
Many similar approaches. The same approach with similar jargon and process, and yeah, it's lovely, it's exciting, and if you like that last podcast, wait and get excited for the next two, because sameheareglobal.org is another powerful website where they're doing the same thing that Journey's Dream is doing. They're trying to get people to be able to talk more about their mental health issues and challenges and be a resource for people who will look for approaches that are other than just here's the medical, here's the medicine. And the founder of that had his own complete breakdown, which looked physical, but they couldn't find anything physically wrong. And they finally sent him to a psychiatrist. And I believe that the story said that he left his first psychiatric visit with 5 medications. And then a number of years later, he had been through, I think they said, 50 medications, everything they could think of. And they finally said to him, okay, well, we have only 2 things left that might help you. One of them is the transcranial magnetic stimulation, and the other one is shock therapy. And if that doesn't work, you know, that's it. Your life, that's it. And then, wonder of wonders, he ended up seeing an integrative therapist. And that was the first person who talked to him about, well, so what have the stresses been in your life? And notice what you're doing with your breathing. And can we get you to do a little relaxation technique? And that led to transforming his life. And finding some integrative approaches, and so now he's off the meds, or you know, phenomenally reduced, and he's dealt with some of the traumas in his life that he didn't even realize he had, and he's founded this sameheareglobal.org website, which has also a provider network for people that are integrative psychiatrists and therapists, and they want to just they want to do what the psychologist who did a TED talk years ago, he talked about doing emotional hygiene. The idea is you know, he sounded just like this psychiatrist, I'm coming up with his name here, Guy Winch, W-I-N-C-H. And Guy Winch did a TED talk back in 2014 or whatever. And he asked, why is it that we teach kids at 3 and 4 and 5 years old to brush their teeth and wash their face and hands and, you know, dust off their pants when they're dirty, but we don't teach them anything about emotional hygiene. And we know we have these tools that work, that absolutely work to improve people's emotional states. Well, that's the very same thing that they're promoting in sameheare.org, sameheareglobal.org. And one of their integrative psychiatrists was gracious enough to let me interview him day before yesterday. So
oh, that's great. Good stuff.
And, you know, and just if for nothing else, you might say to your grandson, hey, look at this samehereglobal.org website. I think on the first page, if you scroll down, I think there are 48 or 50 athletes and or music industry people who have put their picture up there and said, I have this issue with depression or obsessive thoughts or anxiety. I struggle with this. So it lets mm-hmm. people know that they're not alone, which for many
That's
people
wonderful.
Is a huge first step.
Yeah. Ooh. Thanks, Dr. Tim. And, you know, I just took a deep breath and I realized I haven't been breathing. So thanks for mentioning breath. Thanks for those ideas.
You're most welcome and deserving. Any other thoughts, comments, questions, or answers for us?
Not at the moment, actually. Thanks.
Okay, well, I'll just remind you and the rest of the audience that we're talking about these interviews that I've done, and these are all available at journeysdream.org/podcast. And while they are not directly available through the whyagain.org website, in several of those podcasts, if you listen, you'll hear me mention the work of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice and how their tools are so powerful and available absolutely free. So there's, in my mind, no problem cross-referencing.
So, Dr. Tim, I finally got a piece of paper and a pencil. Samehere.org. I've completed
same,
a couple of...
Same here, Samehere, global.org.
Uh-huh. Global. Oh, okay, got it. And Raden, R-A-D-E-N.
Wellness.com.
Good. Thank you.
You are very welcome. And far more deserving than you know most of the time.
Most of the time. Thanks.
Any other thoughts or questions?
Probably if I swirled around enough, nobody else's hand is up, huh?
No, did you...
Okay.
Aren't you one of the people who mentioned or had watched the movie Who We Are?
Yes.
That documentary with Anita
yes.
Morjani
yes.
and
that was so
and Dr. Eben
wonderful.
Alexander?
Yep. I sent that to everybody in my immediate family immediately, and I'm getting responses. Tim Bingham watched it and loved it. I haven't heard from my son, but my son's so busy he doesn't have time to watch that sort of thing. But my two wonderful cousins that I've been telling you about who have been working together to learn about their own history, use the tools, talk to their mother about things that their mother has kept secret and private because that was that generation, which is sort of my generation, but not. Somehow she's part of the older generation, and I got mixed up with the younger one as far as letting the cats out of the bag and so forth. They have been in dialogue, and it has been just massively healing for them. And they're talking between each other. I haven't heard lately, but they are very excited to have this film interpret thoughts and observations that they've been making on their own but didn't know how to put together, and the film did that for them. It's the most watchable thing, too. It goes so fast. Yeah, very good.
It's only about an hour and 16 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
Have you introduced those cousins to the book It Didn't Start With You by Mark Wolin?
No. No, I haven't. I think I have that book around somewhere.
W-O-L-Y-N-N-N.
Oh.
Mark Wolin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
That's just another good kind of an eye-opener for people who have been taught to think of themselves as single individuals and only physical and out of whack if they're not, you know, in duck step with the rest of the world or their culture or their class in school or whatever. And there's just another wonderful way to start looking at it, analyzing the thoughts you have and or the dream, you know, the upsetting dreams, et cetera, and with an eye toward, you know what, this might be something that's in the family bloodline,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, energetically either amplifying or triggering stuff for me that, you know, if I'm just thinking of myself as a solitary, isolated physical being, I would never look at that stuff.
Yeah. We've been talking about that. And talking, one thing that blew my cousin's mind, the mother of these two girls, is the similarity between my issues with my mother and her issues with her mother and father and how they were coped with. It seems like a family cultural response system that's common, and she was surprised that I was doing and thinking similar things that she had been doing and thinking, many of them not healthy or productive. And somehow I'm removed enough from their immediate family that the girls said that they felt as if their paralysis was loosened and they were able to talk to their mother with this third person in there, which is me, which is removed by one cousin gap. But the issues are the same. They just didn't have words to talk about them. And so they would get anxious and retreat. So, and it's Michael's tools and the idea of things passing down in the DNA that can be cleared, that basically everyone is at heart doing the best they can and innocent. Those ideas blew their mind because they were still looking for why did this happen? Who's to blame? And now they're understanding there is no blame, which is very freeing. By the way, Dr. Tim, I've told Charlie about tapping, but I haven't known what I should tell him that he could say while he's tapping. It's sort of like a mind shifter while you're tapping. And maybe
the best, easiest thing to do is to, I've had a number of people who've had great success going to YouTube and typing in the name Brad Yates, Y-A-T-E-S, and then tapping in or typing in their issue. And one of the more recent ones was a woman, I told her about Brad Yates, and she knew about that, and she tapped a little bit with him for anxiety or whatever. And then she was having a panic about something and couldn't reach me, so she went and typed in Brad Yates and claustrophobia, and she found something to tap on with that theme.
Oh, wow.
And it was, you know, magnificently helpful.
Good.
And there's also, you know, the tapping solution app for your smartphone. And I don't like to promote it because, you know, there's very little of it that's free. But then if you pay money, it's got all of these other scripts that you can tap along with. But, you know, it's not like you're out there all alone with no help whatsoever. I mean, the YouTube has so many good things on it with Brad Yates and
mm-hmm.
others, but Brad Yates is one that I've listened to a few of his, and I know he stays very close to what the founder, Gary Craig, did with his work.
Good.
Resources, and more resources.
Yeah.
Now if we could just get people to take advantage of them.
Right. I know. True.
Well, I just tapped on something on my phone and says, whyagain.org page is not available, not found.
Oh, no. Jeannie needs to know that. Oh, my God, she'll have a fit.
Well, I have to check it out because the phone might have a glitch in it, and the whyagain.org website is now up and running, but it is a revamped website. If you haven't been there in a few days, it's got a whole new look.
So what was the problem you just had then?
It's on my phone, and it's not working on my phone.
All right. This is from your browser. You're typing in Hawaii again?
Oh, I know what's happened. Yeah, if you go into the laptop, what's happening is on the new website, the old link for the archives of the radio show doesn't work.
Oh, okay. I found my phone. The website itself is coming up. Boy, it's nice. It's probably different on the computer than the iPhone, too.
Except now all of my intros are wrong.
Oh, no.
On all of
those
shows where I said, go there and look for the red and white bullseye. There's no red and white bullseye.
Oh, boy. Jeannie's been just totally flat out working on this. Oh, here's the bullseye.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But say, if you touch on it, you're saying it. Oh, it takes you to the wrong places. Oh.
I don't know. I don't see any bullseye in the top of the page.
Oh, you scroll way down.
Yeah, there you go.
The top of the...
Eventually, it's way down. All right. Anyway, great resources. lots of good resources. And when you go to... When you click on the microphone link, it just takes you to a different place than the old one did.
I hope that's easily fixed and not necessarily by you, Dr. Tim. That's going to be a lot of doing if it's by you.
Yeah, it can't be done by me because I don't have access to their website. But
okay.
Anyway, resources abound. With a little effort and willingness, you can find them. And, of course, you have to have the willingness to use them. That was the point I was making before.
Yes.
I got distracted
by
the new website.
Right. I do think the younger people will, like Charlie, will probably be more open to going to a YouTube presentation to start. And that's really going to help. But I'm going to check it out first.
Yeah. All right.
Thank
well, we
you,
have
Dr.
11
Tim.
Minutes left. You're very welcome and deserving. Thank you for having the questions and being willing to consider some of the answers we have or the discussions we bring up to question. And keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Thank you for
me
listening
too.
To the podcast. I'm glad you found it at least mildly interesting. And
quiet dog, Tim.
Even better will be the next two that are pointing people to other resources, and the work goes on. We just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Do you have any big plans for this Memorial Day weekend?
I turn 77 on Monday, and as far as I know, I don't think anybody is planning anything. I'm laying really low. But I don't have to teach that day because classes are off because it's Memorial Day.
So where do you normally teach?
I teach at a community center in the next town, but it's all been on Zoom since last February. It's Pilates Fusion, I call it. It's every possible kind of anything from ballet, yoga, Pilates, stretching, weightlifting, very light weights. And since I don't have my weights at home, they're still at the community center. I use refried beans. So, and we joke about what we're lifting today, marmalade, you know. People from actually all over the country. It's a small class, but I have a woman from North Carolina, a woman from Colorado, and a woman from the Cape taking it because they could. And now they're going live again in the fall, they think. And I've been telling them that it might be nice if they can afford the equipment to have a video screen right in there. And I'll go in and teach live, but some of my students want to continue even after they could be going live in their local areas. They want to keep taking this class, which is really nice, and I enjoy them so much. So I do that only twice a week, 2 hours a week of teaching that.
All right. Well, congratulations on that, and happy birthday a few days early.
Thanks.
It is a pleasure to have you on the team, as Michael says, and I hope that some of the comments and suggestions we've been tossing around eventually lead to some good choices for you and your grandson.
Thanks. You know, I just got on this YouTube thing, and there are a ton of things. Dealing with OCD, Brad Yates. Dealing with intrusive thoughts, overthinking things. I can't stop myself. Holy mackerel, clearing anxiety.
There it is.
This is a gold mine.
It's been helping people for a lot of years. And in combination with that referral to someone like Dr. Radin or Dr. Julia Britz, it could be a life changer.
It might be. That's good. You know, Charlie is working with a man I like very much. But the man is more or less of a conventional medical person who has prescribed an antidepressant and an anti-anxiety pill for Charlie, which don't seem to be helping at all. So it'll be good to be able to open the discussion to other things.
It's a real, you know, we are all limited by whatever tools we've been exposed to. And as you heard me say in that interview, I got lucky. I had these fabulous parents. And then I got lucky with some of the mentors that I was drawn to in my life. But the vast majority of them were after the grad school, after the formal training.
Right.
And so, you know, it's one of the things that draws me to people as close friends is that we have discovered that we're very divergent as people, but this one thing we have in common, my closest friends and I, is this hunger for learning, this continual learning passion.
Right. That's great.
And
you know,
in my line of work, that's so important because even when I find a really wonderful, powerful tool, not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to want to use it.
Right. And one thing about your talk, you said you had had a wonderful childhood, wonderful parents. You have never, I don't think, have ever said that. And I have always assumed that people who need to be on the radio show and that have a lot of trauma probably had a lot of speed bumps in childhood and had a hard time. You're basically saying life presents issues. these are the way with dealing with them. You don't have to have had a terrible childhood or anything like that to be using these tools. That might seem very
absolutely.
Basic. But I was,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is you'd be hard-pressed to create a more perfect childhood, but life events happened, right? So, you know, there's kids falling off of bikes and needing stitches and other kids being bullies and, you know, it's not that my life was perfect. I mean, I just did some worksheets that I was talking about over the past weekend because I had gotten triggered to upset last Thursday. And one of the a series of the worksheets I did had to do with flashbacks to when I was in grade school, as Catholic grade school. And it was traumatic for me that these nuns walked around talking about love and put on these fake pious voices, and then they'd be smacking us with rulers and, you know, giving us corporal punishments. And it was not loving at all. So they were saying one thing and doing another.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, even though I had these wonderful parents and this loving home that I can, as a matter of fact, that's what made going to that school setting even more difficult, because I had to leave the loving, supportive, safe home environment and go to school where I never knew where the next attack was coming from. And often it was from the nuns, you know, with a ruler or a smack in the back of the head with a hand or... And it felt like, you know, I had to be hyper-vigilant because I was one of those kids who always wanted to be doing the right thing and just wanted to please people. And it was just not possible. And I didn't know at that age that it was impossible to please the nuns every day, all day. And I didn't know
was
at that point
school?
In time. No, this
was
just a Catholic.
School?
No, just a Catholic grade school. Kindergarten, grade school,
right?
High school, and college were all my, we'd go home after school and we'd get, you know, either driven to school or take the bus to school.
Yeah.
It was maybe a mile from my parents' house at the time.
Yeah. Thank goodness you could go home in the afternoon. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Dr. Tim, I'm getting a call from one of my grandboys. I'm going to take it.
All right. All right.
So
blessings. We're out of
so
time anyway, but thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. Thanks. You too. Okay.
I will just remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I see Jeannie Rice's number on the board. There she goes. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too. Got an extra day in it.
Thanks. Oh, yeah. Well, we don't, but that's cool. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. Today's Friday, May the 20th, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. And this is Memorial Weekend, and tomorrow is actually mine and Michael's 6th wedding anniversary. We've been together, or not 16th. We've been together 17 and a half years, been married 16. And so it is a good Memorial Day weekend, good to remember. So while we're waiting on Michael to get dialed in, I'll direct you to...
Michael's dialed in.
Oh, there you are. Well, welcome.
I've been here. Hey. Thank you, dear heart. Welcome, everybody. Honored that we get to engage in this conversation once again about the amazing benefits of understanding first century Aramaic forgiveness. And that we get to bring forward this technology of the mind that is so amazing that I don't know what to say. It's just amazing. And we get to engage in it. I think that's just the coolest thing ever. And I'm delighted that you're here to be part of the conversation. And we are stepping into chapter 13, Off the Mark, from Why Is This Happening to Me Again. We'll read a little bit before we get into the conversation. And we're introducing to a character named Richard, a character in the book that is not a real person, but is a composite of many real people and real conversations that I've had with real people as we look at the difference between the thought system, the thought structure of the Greek world compared to the Aramaic world, especially as it applies to forgiveness. We're going to reverse just about everything. In particular, the idea that forgiveness has nothing to do with letting somebody else off the hook because there's some sort of untoward energy going on in us, but rather, how do I remove this energy that never belonged within me? Richard is stepping into new levels of responsibility with his communication. He, you know, makes a comment about guilt trips and puts his comment on the conversation that's happening, then takes back and recognizes that there's a reality of guilt surfacing in his mind as we talk about this Aramaic idea of sin. And again, we're changing the definition of the word. Well, pardon me, we shouldn't say we're changing the definition. The definition has been changed. We are returning to the original Aramaic definitions of many words in order to understand this process of forgiveness. So we've been telling Richard that the word forgiveness is an internal process, and then in particular, we've been looking at this idea of being off the mark, and then in Aramaic, the word sin simply means that we're off the mark. It's actually an archery term. When you fire at the target, you miss the bullseye. The scorekeeper would yell sin, and implying that there's room for improvement, take another shot, as opposed to some sort of a guilt trip that Richard has been taught it is. So he's talking about how the reality of guilt is surfacing in his mind as he thinks about that. And I offer the thought back that sounds like a more accurate, responsible way to say it, Richard. Guilt is a human invention designed to change human behavior. Unfortunately, its effect is more often the reverse. It keeps people locked into their errors rather than promoting release from them. Have you noticed that guilt usually precedes an act? It is emotional energy that keeps error in the forefront of the mind. People tend to be attracted to the behaviors that connect them to the most energy. Programmed guilt perpetuates behaviors that seem to cause guilt. So we're offering, you know, that the world, when it brainwashes somebody with guilt, ostensibly to stop them from doing a behavior, it's actually setting people up for that behavior because it becomes the energy that attracts people to whatever behaviors that they're doing. So Richard says, you mean that guilt causes the behavior rather than the behavior causing the guilt? He seems shocked by the idea. Are you saying that guilt is purposely instilled to control people? I offer, well, perhaps a false specialist in the ancient teachings called the priestcraft was one who didn't know any better or wanted to control those who consulted him. He would connect sin with guilt, bad and wrong, and use those energies to bind someone through unconsciousness to servitude. Guilt is the connection in the mind between error and self-condemnation for that error, and is in itself sinful. or unlawful energy in which to engage. So guilt itself is sin. Again, it's an energy that's off the mark. It's not designed for the human energy system. The human energy system is designed to be a place where love resides. When we get brainwashed with guilt, then we're locking into the very energy that we say we want to avoid. So the specialist, in this case, we're talking about priestcraft. We're going to distinguish between priestcraft and priesthood. The specialist with integrity, known as the priesthood, would use the same opportunity, the same quote-unquote sin, to teach the inquiring mind how to forgive and release itself from the error and its sins, including guilt. So we're shifting everything back to its original Aramaic roots, and the everything in particular that we're talking about here is the idea of guilt, the idea that oftentimes, though it's ostensibly put forward to avoid something, becomes the very energy that attracts people to it. And so one more key idea in the whole process of forgiveness is to recognize how the mind is attracted to those, kind of like those energies that light one up. And guilt lights things up, makes things attractive. If the guilt were not attached, people would look at that thing or perhaps not even bother looking, not even allow themselves to become aware of it because there was no attractive energy to try them into it. It wouldn't even be part of the conversation if someone were not brainwashed with guilt. So we're here to alleviate guilt. We're here to alleviate fear. We're here to support people removing the energies that would keep them locked into either of those patterns and to wake up to who we are. Recognizing that as the active presence of love, a human being is designed to engage in only energies that are what we call lawful for them. Lawful not meaning that some lawmaker stood up and made a set of rules, but rather those energetic patterns that supported people in what they're doing in their lives. So we're here to support people living as human beings and to learn to remove all forms of hostility and fear that tend to pull people into something other than love. So that's another way of saying or presenting the whole basis of the work that we're doing. And we hope that these ideas are serving you and are assisting you to move forward in your world and in your life. And so, Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody out there with a hand up in the phone queue or anything happening in the chat room?
We do have a hand up, and I believe it's Ms. Lisa, area code 406. You're on the air.
It is me.
Welcome.
Well, welcome, young lady. How are you?
Oh, I'm freaking out.
What's up?
So,
I thought you'd be living in delight with the fact that, you know, that wonderful picture you sent with those two beautiful young men and their sweet faces.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, so when mom came with Scott and they apparently stayed at Marvin's house, and the day before the graduation ceremony, she sent a message. She asked if I would be willing to, you know, if I wanted to go because there was an extra car pass available. So my immediate reaction, though, if you can believe it, was no. I didn't say that to her because I knew it was a reaction. And I sat with that and I was like, are you insane, mind? And so, you know, all I could budge out of myself was, what time is it? So I breathed and breathed and got myself together for the next day. And then we went to their house to get the pass. So this is the first time that I've seen my boys in 10 years. And my mom grabbed him. I guess Marvin was on the phone. She grabbed him and brought him outside as I got the pass
right.
And dropped off a cake and a gift and hugs. So now we're – so then we did the whole graduation. Then the boys – my mom and Scott went back over to their house, but then the boys drove them over here. So the boys came in for about an hour, and then they went home or – one's in college and the other's graduating, obviously. So
right.
Now, so I walked him out to the car, and all of a sudden that dread starts. And it's been, you know, since Saturday. And, you know, as I was taking him out to the car, I'm like, you know, I'd really love to see you, but I just want you to be happy. But this is where I live. You're welcome anytime. This is the code to get into the garage anytime. It's Friday, and I'm absolutely desperate that they're never going to want to see me again. And I'm just...
Sounds like your fear has got you by the face.
It does. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, then, how perfect is that? How awesome is it that you're conscious of what the block is and that you've got the tools to remove it? Obviously, it's not Dr. Feelgood, and going through it is not going to feel good, but that you realize that there's this energy which will tend to inhibit your relationship with your boys, that you now get to face. It sounds like there's just some really deep-rooted trauma and fear that's now up for you, and it's perfectly on target for it to be up for you because it's in you. It's something you've developed over a long period of abuse. And so we're here to support you now that it's in your face, letting loose of it. And getting back to the space where, when you think of your kids, the only thing in your file on your children is that pure presence of being and that pure presence of love that you are, that you know they are, and your work now is to clear some of the garbage out of the way. So have
I'm
you
just
put
writing
the pen
that
to
down
the paper
because...
on any? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had to write that down because I know what my mind does. In the moment that I, you know, am away from you folks, it's going to start again. And I will hold the space that it transitions immediately. It doesn't have to surface. It can just go on its merry way. But so the only thing that in my file about my children is love. I just wrote it down. So that I would remember it.
Right. And if something else surfaces, the other thing to remember is to breathe. Because holding the breath in order not to feel what's in there will tend to lock in and strengthen what's in there. And it's not going to feel good to breathe into it and let yourself feel it. You know, many years of trauma and abuse between yourself and your former, and especially around and related to your children. And so just holding the space for all of that to open and for you to get free of it and to just have total confidence in your connectedness and the presence of love in your relationship with both of them. I mean, when I got that picture, when you texted that picture to us, it was just so delightful to see it. I immediately showed it to G. It's like, look at this. And the sweet faces, especially now, I don't know from the picture which one is which, but that little grin and that smile on the, I guess it's the younger boy on the right. I mean, what a sweet face.
Well, the one with the graduation is the younger. He's a little bit taller. And then the older boy
okay.
is in the Czech shirt, but they're only 16 months apart, so they're
right. Okay. Well, in any event,
yeah.
I mean, that sweet smile on his face is just—he's obviously delighted to be in your presence.
Oh, well,
I mean, that's really
that,
clear looking at that picture.
The one thing that I'm very clear on, that I had to be clear on, even when I was ruminating over the years, is him particularly, but both of them loved me. I mean, every time I walked in the room, more so than my daughter even, I just, well, anyway, but it's all being loved, so. So I've sent invitations to them to come for Memorial Day. Bob's children will be here. There's no answer. They're teenagers, I get it. And they're still, you know, they still, their whole world is with their, around their father.
Right.
So, but I'm just having a really, really hard time coming up with ideas on how to stay current in their lives. But now I already know the answer is now it's all, but it's hooked to fear and terror, actually terror. So
yeah, I got it.
I have
I got
to dismantle
it.
That before it can, before any quote unquote strategies can move forward, because you don't need strategies if it's just based in love.
Yep. And so we're here to hold space for you to get free of that terror. I know that around your children, you've been terrorized. It sounds like your former, you know, became a very deeply abusive power person in your life. And so this is, you know, going to be a gateway to cleaning out your power person file. And I just hold the space for you to just move forward. And every thought that comes up that's based in something other than love around those kids, I just support you putting the pen to the paper and letting loose of it and recognizing that the only energy you need to be entertaining with them is out of love, is out of the truth. So I breathe with you. You know, I can't imagine what, as a mom, you've gone through in all that's happened over the last 10 or 12 years. So now your job, should you choose to accept it, is to clean all that out rather than allow it to come up and become an interference.
And just to add another indignation, which I realize I have to let go, but you recall when I think I spoke with you when the woman he was married to made the transition to non-physical, and apparently she made the statement she had no idea that I was going to be so upset about the loss of my children. And then Marvin called my mom within a week saying that he wanted me to be more involved with the children. But then when he found out that I was in a relationship and had been, you know, in a fairly successful relationship for 6 years, he would not allow me to see my children. And I just... And
so notice that your mind
yeah.
has formed a reality around his manipulation, or that he is manipulating you, and that's just another place to clean up the the garbage energies you hold around your children and him as your former husband. And watch your mind if it tries to form a reality based in pain. Remember that every reality based in hostility or fear is a lie. It's amazing how even people who become very well acquainted with this work, their minds generate a reality based in hostility or fear. And they actually believe what their mind is telling them. Be careful about believing any of that.
Yes.
And if it comes up, that's the place to remove the hostility or fear. Because whenever the mind is generating a reality based on hostility or fear, it's generating a reality based on a lie. And, you know, it's all, when the mind does that, it's like, gee, but I can see it, I can taste it, I can hear it, I can feel it so deeply, it must be real. It is a reality, but reality, remember, unless based in love, is never the truth. And therefore is subject to being forgiven, removed. And, you know, if the boys show up this weekend, chances are you're going to get more and more opportunities to learn forgiveness around them, because they now represent, in part at least, all of the machinations that have gone on between you and Marvin. So just be careful about hooking any of that into your brain's image of them, and if it comes up, you know that the reality your mind is generating is based on a goal, and allow yourself to forgive the goals based in hostility and fear. Cancel those goals and process through that energy of trauma and trepidation that you're carrying. And remember to breathe. And know that we're here breathing with you and holding the space. And any time on the inner level that you need support, energetically call out. We're listening.
Yes. There was another one, too, that was just... I remember what it was. So it was in a parking lot, the graduation ceremony, and Marvin parked. His girlfriend had my boys and the dog in a van. So they were in a different parking lot, but I could see him. Then Marvin pulls up almost directly behind us and walked up. And so I get out of our car, and I walk to the middle of the parking lot, and I'm standing there by myself, but I can see everyone, my mom, my dad, everybody over there at the van, all having a nice, fun party as I'm standing there by myself. And I waved at Marvin.
Notice the energy of emphasis there for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like the reality that your mind is needing to forgive in regard to that situation is that of being abandoned. Beware the tendency to perceive yourself taken advantage of.
I have all kinds of ammunition for it, though. In
all
correlation
kinds of evidence
with him, particularly. Yeah.
I hear you. I hear you. And are you willing to let that go? Are you willing to turn that into sacred energy? You know, sacrifices to make sacred. Are you willing to turn that into the energy of healing rather than using it as ammunition to prove once again that you've been abused? And understanding, I mean, I was witness to it, that there was abuse. And whatever has been there in the past, you don't have to carry into that parking lot or into that relationship with your children. And you may have to do some very, I guess the word I want to use is just, you know, instantly going into your work and letting loose of those things that, you know, there can be a tendency to fall into them. And remember that what you focus on, you energize, you create more of. And you don't need those energetic patterns in your body, and you don't need those energetic triggers in relationship to your former or in relationship to your kids. Because if you allow those to become the predominant energies in you, they will tend to become the ones that will govern and create new perceptual constructs that don't need to be brought into these relationships. Now, like, time to be finished with the past. So yeah. I'm here to support you being on guard and being aware that I don't have to go there.
Yep.
How about a mind shifter?
Okay.
The truth is, I am and have always been innocent in relationship to my children. What's happening with your breath as you think that thought?
Oh, I don't know. That's so weird.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to really get in there and do something about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, notice that there have been voices who've wanted to convince you that you're the one who's guilty, bad, and wrong. And to some degree, you bought into those energetic patterns. And when those energetic patterns come up, you go nuts. And it's time to stay sane. It's time to allow them to come, breathe into them, and let them go.
Yeah, you know, the other part of that is, I could, after I finish the innocent, then I could turn it around and do guilty and see what comes up on the other way.
Exactly. Absolutely. And this is, my take would be that this is a deep enough issue that I'd set myself apart 4 or 5 hours, you know. You know, I've no expected phone calls. My phone is turned off. You know, I'm in my own space. Ask Bob to support you just being in your own space. You know, maybe he'd even make dinner, you know, finish lunch and take a whole afternoon and just work with that for several hours. And, you know, keep track. You know, put it in a notebook and look at everything that comes up in your mind around that, and then use what comes up as the subject of the worksheet you need to do around all that's happened in that regard.
Well, I've got all those.
It's like clean up the whole
worksheet.
File system.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm just grateful that I know what I know, because it could have been disastrous. And you know, I was good enough, or you know, at this, to catch myself, you know, when I started to you know, really freak. But I still have so much more work to do.
Well, welcome to the non-human race. It's time for us all to kick in and do our work and to literally get free of the patterns of many generations of craziness and abuse. It's like we can hang out in those old patterns, or we can recognize them when they come up and instantly step into, here's a piece for me to forgive. Here's a piece for me to forgive. Here's a piece for me to forgive. And rather than having to wait for it to happen in real life circumstances when, you know, it might grab you by the face and pull you into something that might get crazy, take that time and then do that work around it and just go in as a being that's clear of all the old drama and trauma of that relationship, those relationships.
Yeah.
And guess
okay.
What will happen? 10 years of their absence will collapse and disappear.
Well, that's it. That's what Bob said before he was going to sleep. Before he went to sleep, he's going to be like, you know, that he said something very similar, but how can that be true?
So notice that your breath is shutting down. Notice how your throat is closing up. Your lips want to purse. Notice what's happening. This is how to hold on. So now these thought disorders are in your face, and you can close down on them and hold on to them, squeeze them back into your life and into your body and into your world, and create out of them. Or you can do what you know to do, and that is soften and breathe and open, embrace those energies, stay connected to active present love, and let them go. You have a choice. Which do you want to do?
Well, I certainly want to be peaceful. Absolutely. There's only one choice, and that's to do the work.
Sweet. You know, I can think back to times when, you know, perhaps peace was not what your mind wanted. So nice work, nice maturing.
Well, yeah. Okay.
And how did the time go with your mom?
It was good.
I did
a good job of pretending not to be in mental crisis. so you know, I.
Well,
but I,
if you recognize that the truth, it sounds like what you're saying is, you were in mental crisis and you recognized it. So just be aware that that's what needs to be forgiven. And move forward with your work. Thank goodness you've got the tools. And it sounds like there's more willingness than I've ever heard from you. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate
good
your
breath.
Help.
That's what you needed right there. That's the one that Ruka moves through right there.
Well, if anything else comes to you, I'm all about it. So let me know.
Okay. If I get any other intuitive hits, I will definitely be in touch.
All right. Well, I appreciate your help very much. Thank you.
Oh, you've got it. You've got it 100%. And the boys as well. And, you know, and I join you in extending that presence of love to Marvin, who's obviously carrying, has been in the past at least, carrying a huge load of trauma that has been pushed off in your direction. And, you know, much as things can look crazy, you know, it's only hurting people that hurt people. And when we become big enough in that state of being to let go of the desire to hurt another who has played out of their hurtfulness, that's when we reach a whole new level of becoming a healing force in the world. You know, if my mind holds that little, well, yeah, but I'm going to just reserve this vengeance back here. I know that, you know, one of these days I'm going to get the opportunity to get even. Yeah, I'll even the scorecard. All of those thoughts need to be forgiven. All of that needs to be let loose in order to make the space in your physiology for the truth of who you are to show up and create your life. Now, the non-being mind, the ego mind, the hostility and fear-based mind, oh, it's got 1,000 reasons why it should get even and, you know, when possible, get that snide little shot in there. Just let loose of all of that. It's not worth it. And it will come back to bite you. If it surfaces, replace it with the thought, keen to generosity. You know, there's that really awesome example that Yeshua gives us right after he comes out of the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Peter's there with his sword ready to protect him from the archenemy, the bad guy. You know, that world myth, there's a good guy and there's a bad guy. And the good guy kills the bad guy, or at least takes a shot at him. And then becomes the hero. And there's Peter, ready to take the shot at the high priest's servant. And in fact, you know, we're told he had a sword and injured him. And then the example that Yeshua gives, the whole power to me of his life, his teaching lies literally in that moment. When he offers a piece of teaching to Paul, he says, Paul, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. If you live by your vengeance, you'll die by your vengeance. If you live by your offense, your offense will kill you. You get the original, and they get the carbon copy. So he inhibits Paul in his attack, or Peter, pardon me, in his attack, and then he turns to the high priest servant, and he does what a human being would do. He offers the man that's going to have him mercilessly slaughtered the active presence of love and healing. And in that moment lies the true example of what his work was about and his life was about. Now, there are many people out of churchianity that will tell you, you know, the power of suffering and you have to suffer with and you have to go to the cross with him. No. He demonstrated the whole purpose of his life and his teaching in that moment when, you know, I mean, who could blame him? You know, the intuitive being that he was, knowing that this man is going to have him mercilessly slaughtered, what would any non-being mind do but attack and destroy? Instead, he does what a true human being would do. He offers the active presence of love. And in that is his acceptance of his eternal being. And life is often going to have opportunities to bring to us pain and trauma, and we either fall prey to and get lost in those energetic patterns that really are stuck in our own structures, or we soften, we breathe, and we bring in another level and another layer of human life. Another layer of the active presence of love. And so I join you in softening to bring in that new layer.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, despite my feeling kind of not resolute in my peacefulness, so I was uptight when I went over there to get the parking pass. I did take Marvin his favorite tea as an offering of peace. I know that sounds kind of silly, but you know, I haven't seen the guy in 10
years. Not at all.
And I took a can of hibiscus tea, you know, tea bags over there as an offering. And told the older boy, you know, please make your dad some hibiscus iced tea. It's his favorite. So I did.
That
just,
sounds,
you know,
like one of the most sane things you've ever done to me.
But I will. But in my honesty, I wasn't totally feeling it, though. It was. but I did do it.
Well, you did it.
Because
and notice. When you're being honest, parts of you that didn't want to go there, and that's your forgiveness work.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's a line in, I forget which one, I think it was a book of Thomas, where that wasn't canonized, and the Pharisees are all over Yeshua. I mean, they're really railing on him. And the disciples say to him, well, why don't you give them back some of their own medicine? You know, like, why don't you sock it to them? And Yeshua says, I have none of that in my store. So notice that your being guided you to offer something of love and support that comes from a space of love and support. And there was a part of your mind that showed you some other energetic patterns that you had in your store. And that's just your next layer of forgiveness work to remove that. That, in your physiology, is a disintegrative energy. That's the kind of energy that will cause you pain, cause you trauma, and lock you into perceptual constructs that will perpetuate the insanity. And so just notice, okay, there was a part of me that really wasn't, you know, in harmony with doing that. And so I'll go ahead and do the right thing, the thing that I know comes from my higher being, and I'll do my work around the rest. You know, and sometimes there's going to be that dual mind. That's part of the process. Oh, I want to do this, and then the ego comes in and says, yeah, but if you do, you're going to get this benefit, so you're really doing it for that benefit. And that's
what you
say, thank you very much, ego, for the notification. I'll forgive that part of my mind, and I'm going to go ahead and do it for the highest and best and the right reasons, even though some of these other reasons might accompany it. Breathe, and I'll do my forgiveness work around those as well. Thank you for showing it to me. You know, it doesn't always have to come from pure, total, 1,000% being. Even if, you know, there's 1% being that says, do this, and I follow through with that and do my work, that's my opportunity to heal that non-being mind. That's my opportunity to breathe and to let that go, because that's the stuff my own trauma is made of, and that's the stuff with which I invite trauma to show up in my life. And, you know, you've had enough of that.
Yeah.
Time to be done with it. And recognize that you deserve more, and realize that the fact that you know you deserve more, that everyone else deserves an equal share, even if they don't know it or they aren't acting like it. Because the being is abundant and generous, is going to give it anyway, rather than, I'm going to go get even. Let that old crap go. It's been going on the planet for too long.
Yes.
So even when your mind has got something else going on, see that as the opportunity to do your work and keep moving forward. And that's how you fully incarnate in your own physiology as love. In those moments where, you know, carbon-based memory's got a different idea based in hostility or fear, and I say, thank you very much. I think I'll breathe through that and let go of it and do the right thing anyway. Take the higher road.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about this principle, a really powerful film to watch is Gandhi and how there are so many cases, I mean, just so many atrocities that were done by the British in India, places where he could have just, you know, puked all over them. And instead, he stayed with integrity, he functioned as love, and he extended that love to even those who deserve nothing that resembled it. And I think because he understood that, though they may not deserve it, I do. You know, the mind says, well, but they, look what they did. They deserve this punishment. And, you know, I stand there and I watch and I say, you know, I watched what they did. You're right. They really do deserve that punishment. But the question you got to ask yourself is, do I deserve it? Because if I engage it in it, I get the original. They only get a carbon copy. Do I deserve this? If I don't do it.
Yeah. I can feel when you said, do I deserve it? I can feel it in my left kidney particularly.
Mm.
Kind of weird, but.
Well, that's probably where you'll get to heal. You know, kidney, you'll get to heal probably one of those deeper level pissed off parts.
Right.
So that's the area of your structure that wants to be opened around this issue. So allow yourself to focus there, let the energy open, and let whatever's held in the mind of your kidney surface for forgiveness. Because you need to keep your kidneys healthy.
Yeah. We've got enough extra kidneys in this family.
Yeah. For sure.
For if anybody doesn't know, Bob, my partner had a kidney transplant, so that's why.
Right.
That's why, yeah. That's fun. Okay.
So that little sound that you just made there, right there, just made it three times. What's going on in your mind when you make that sound? Did you notice the sound that you made? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd let myself just be conscious of that. There's something there for you.
I'll probably have to listen to it back.
Okay. Well, you notice, I mean, it's just like
but...
just a fraction of a second. It was just a little kind of sound. But there's something there. when it resonates for me, and I, and this, you know, may just be totally mine and about me, it may have nothing to do with you, but just as a possibility, what it resonates for me is being in a space of such suffering that it's unspeakable.
That may be.
So I acknowledge you for your sanity and your willingness. And the power of the work you're doing. It's pretty awesome.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're about, only got a few more minutes left, so I appreciate your help, and I'll let you know when the next layer comes up.
All right. Well, we'll be here to support you, young lady.
All right. Thank you.
And thanks for trusting us to share it. It's powerful.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't, thanks.
Go ahead. Go with that next thought.
I was going to say, yeah, because I've been, you know, in the, to try to not share my story too much, you know, so that I'm not making it stronger. I don't talk about stuff, in quotes, with people generally, because it's just so tempting to get back into it, you know, the same
yep.
dramas and traumas. So I rarely
slope.
Speak of
yep.
it. Yeah, so I rarely speak of it. So you guys are the only ones.
Well, I feel honored, and I'm here to hold the space to keep undoing the thought disorders connected with any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2,000%. Yeah, I agree with you. And as you breathe, I breathe with you in opening to allow goodness and the deep presence of love to really resonate at your core.
Okay.
Michael, I think you're talking, but you're not coming through the phone.
No, actually, I'm just being silent, just listening.
I have lots of work to do.
I hear you. And I'm here to hold the space to do it and join you in doing it. Willing to take your cue that if there's anything that's moving for you that's also in me, step into the willingness to do that work as well. and breathe with you.
Okay, now there's only a couple minutes left. Thank you very much.
Okay, dear heart. You have a blessed one.
You too.
Holding space. All right.
Thanks.
All right. Well, Miss Jeannie, it looks like we're down to the last minute or so.
Yeah, 2 minutes. And nobody has a hand up, and it's quiet in the chat room, so...
So thank you for everybody, to everybody who joins us and joins in holding this space for each caller and for each listener, whether we know who's listening or not. And there's a wonderful line in the Course in Miracles that says, millions yet unborn will be touched by the work that you do. And so many of us rise up out of such traumatic lives, such traumatic bloodlines, such dramatic loss and pain and trauma. And rising above that is a profound thing to do for the world. So we're here to join with you and support you in doing that, whatever's happening in your life, and truly living as the active presence of love that you're created to be. So we hold space for your day to be blessed and for you to create the best year yet of your eternal life. Recognize it's an awesome gift to give the world. You have the power to give the gift, and the world certainly has a deep need for it. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.